So we're going to read from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. We will not be able to cover all of those verses today, as good as they are. If I were to title this message today, it would be The Destructive Nature of Sin. The Destructive Nature of Sin. When Adam and Eve, we have to go back to Adam and Eve to see the effects of sin and what sin is. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they had all dominion over everything. When God created them, He gave them dominion and power over every creature. The birds, the fish, land, even the trees, but one. Why was it that God didn't give them that one tree? Why did He restrict that one tree except for everything else? That was to show them that they are not God. They are not God, but are His creation. They had restrictions. They cannot do all that they pleased. That would remind them that they are dependent upon Him and that He alone is God. As Revelations 4:11 says, this is exactly what they knew. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. They knew that. They were there when everything was created. They did not see it, but they were His creation. They lived in righteousness and holiness. That was their clothing. They were sinless. They walked before the Lord in complete obedience. But then they disobeyed God. That is what sin is. It's disobedience to God. Disobedience to His command, to His word, and to His law. Someone were to ask you what is sin, that is exactly what it is. It's disobedience. With this in view, what sin is, let's look at its effect and the power that it has upon the individual, upon the human being who is not in Christ. And then we will see Jesus in His far more greater power to suppress that sin. So with Luke, let's get to our verses, chapter 8, 26 through 29. But this is a fairly lengthy passage, so we'll just go. We'll read as we go. I have 3 points here. One is sin empties and destroys. Sin does not associate with Christ. And sin cannot be controlled by human efforts. What I am not saying with this passage, that it somehow is referring to sin. I don't want you guys to, anyone here to think that it's, this passage is somehow mysteriously talking about sin. It is not. It is indeed talking about a man who is demon-possessed. Don't get me wrong. But what I am attempting to do, however, is to reveal the nature of sin in the demon. This ties in so perfectly and runs parallel with demon possession, which is sin. Demonic possession, which is seen from the outside by humans, have such behavior as we see here, nakedness, living among the dead, and wanting nothing to do with Christ. Verses 26 and 27. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when they stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time and wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. In the book of Matthew, it says that he lacerated himself. He tried to kill himself. He wanted to destroy this body of his. These are the same behaviors of a sinner, but within the heart. It just cannot be seen by the human beings, but God sees it. They are nakedness, naked from the righteousness and holiness that God has initially given. And they are living among the dead. As Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. And they want nothing to do with Christ. As Romans so clearly says, chapter 3, or chapter 1, I should say, at the end of chapter 1, they are haters of God. And that is exactly what the human sinner, what the human being who is corrupt with sin is. And so if you read even Matthew 23, you will see what Jesus said to the most religious people of that day. You'd almost think that he's talking to a demon. But he's talking to a person who is so corrupt with sin. And just as a demon possessed man cannot escape a demon, so a sinner cannot escape his sin. This is what I'm attempting to do here, to show you the similarities. So he wore no clothes. He lived not in a house, but lived among the tombs. Back to Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they were stripped of their righteousness, and they were stripped of their holiness that was made in God's image. They were stripped of this when sin entered them. But leaving the garden, they took on a new image. They had a new image. They had new clothing on, which was no clothing at all. They had the image of their new father, the devil. And they were clothed in sin, misery, death, and lies. That is what they were clothed in now. Because their father was a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. That is who they decided to obey rather than God, the creator of all. The sinner in his sinful fallen state does not associate with those who God has breathed life into. They do not want anything to do with them. That's why you will not see anyone of the world in a church. They think it's boring. They think it has nothing fun to offer them because they are their own God. And so those who are perishing are among themselves. As a cemetery, the dead live among themselves. So this demon-possessed man is in the cemetery just as the dead are among themselves in the world. So sin empties and destroys as it did Adam and Eve. And it destroyed the initial image of perfection that God has given them. They were the perfect beings. Imagine that, made in his image. Was there anything God has created that looked like them? Nothing. Not even angels were created in his image, but mankind. Satan was also, when he was created, created to be perfect. He was made in perfection until sin came about. And then man became an abomination to the Lord. Because sin has given a new nature, a corrupt one, mankind could no longer associate with God. He only, by his mercy and his grace, do we associate with God now. And that is only by Christ. Sin, second point, does not associate with Christ. It not only doesn't, but it cannot associate with Christ. It has nothing to do with Christ. It has nothing to do with God. This is verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. What have I to do with you?" He wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ, as a sinner wants nothing to do with Christ, as until Christ pulls a sinner to himself, and it gives him a new heart and a new nature and a new spirit. And so it not only doesn't, but it cannot. Since sin is disobedience, that's what sin is. We read that in 1 John chapter 3 and 4, chapter 3, verse 4. What is sin? Sin is lawlessness, is disobedience. Then it cannot be obedient. If sin is disobedience, it cannot be obedient because it would only act outside its nature. I cannot fly. That's outside my nature. Just as sin to be obedient, it cannot do that. And so that is why everyone who is born, as the psalmist said, "I was born in sin." Without God's grace, we will never be obedient. We cannot be obedient. It's only by God's grace that we are obedient in his children. The exact contrast of sin is obedience. If someone were to keep his command, God's command, then we know that it is only by God's grace. Because sin cannot do that. We cannot do that because we are born in sin. If we were to do that, it is by his grace. And so without God's grace, again, we would be thrown out obedience would be thrown out without God's grace, and the sinner would be left to his own nature. A little bit of some scriptural references that I found regarding the human being and his nature. They are spiritually discerned. They are hating God, not knowing the way of peace, forsaking the right way, loving darkness rather than light, hating the light, blinded by the god of this age, slavery to sin, cannot please God, having no hope, dead in their sins and walk according to Satan, having evil thoughts continually, and are anathema, cursed. So sin has no connection with Christ, only that he destroyed it, destroys his hold and power to those who believe. He destroys it to those who believe. That sin has no hold upon him. That's why Romans chapter 1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Sin destroys. Sin and Christ are complete opposite. And the third one, sin cannot be controlled nor contained by human efforts. There are many who believe themselves to be able to do that, to control sin, but the results of that are disastrous. For one, Cain, who tried to tame sin, but sin tamed him. God tells Cain to be obedient, to do well, which is obedient. If not, sin lies at the door and is desirous for you, but you must rule over it. Little did he know that behind disobedience lies sin. Behind sin lies Satan's entire army. He was to rule over sin. How then, if God told him, how can he have ruled over sin if God did not give him the power to do it? First of all, he didn't tell Adam and Eve to disobey him, so it all started from Adam and Eve, and everyone after Adam and Eve are disobedient. Second of all, he was to rule over sin through obedience. He wasn't obedient as Abel was, who gave the proper sacrifice. He was to rule over sin through obedience, to get to God, who alone he himself provides. God alone provides obedience. We cannot be obedient. Again, like we read, there is no peace for those who are in their natural state. They know not peace. And so in obedience, we are to please God. But the problem is that no one seeks it. No one seeks this obedience from God. No one seeks after God. And then we have Samson. In all his strength, he couldn't suppress sin. Instead, sin suppressed him. At the end of his days, God showed him that his strength was not in his hair, but in his God. That's where his strength was. It's not a superstition type of thing. If my hair grows out and I'm all of a sudden strong, or if my nails are long, I can do wonderful things with it. No, it's in God. That's where his strength was. And in obedience, God used him. And in obedience, God uses us. And sin is mastered that way. Just as Christ, who was perfect in every way, and yet was without sin. He was tempted in every way, and yet was without sin. Otherwise, all of our countless efforts to suppress and get rid of sin will be worthless if it's not through Christ. It is worthless. Sin will only break, just like this demon-possessed man broke the chains and the shackles, is what sin will do to anything that we come up with, any kind of trickery that we come up with. Sin cannot be tamed. Only Christ alone who can tame sin. It cannot be tamed. We were born in it. It's our nature. Those who are born, it's in their nature to sin. They cannot tame it. Who was the one to suppress sin? The one who rose from the dead and sat at the right hand of God. He is the one who spoken in Matthew 21, who was to come to destroy sin. And then, so we have sin destroys. Sin cannot keep God's commands, and sin cannot be controlled by our clever tricks. So one person who we need to come to, and that is Jesus Christ. And next week we'll see sin's
arch enemy, Christ's sovereignty and supremacy over sin, Christ feared by the world, and Christ loved by his own.